What's up, guys? It's your boy Corrado. It's Talking BS. We're back. We are very much like Stevie Wonder. Very superstitious. Happy birthday to Stevie, by the way. Since it's Stevie's birthday, that would make it your homeboy Corrado's birthday, the big 2-8. Stevie Wonder, God knows how old that blind bastard is, but I hope he has a very happy birthday too. Let's get right into these Eastern Conference Finals with the Bruins and the Apparently the Bruins are playing the Carolina Hurricanes. Okay, playing the Carolina Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think anybody's told the Carolina Hurricanes that they have they are in a series. They did not get knocked out. Like so many people basically knew they would in the first two rounds. Apparently the team can't believe it either, so they just decided not to show up in Boston this weekend. Bold strategy. It's a tough look to just not even make an appearance in a playoff series, especially this late in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You should probably, you know, show up. Bring a goalie. Bring a backup goalie just in case that goalie stinks. These are all things that Carolina has yet to do. they haven't played. They played one real period, and that was the first period of the first game. Which is like a heavyweight fight. It's like the first round of it. You're just feeling each other out. You're doing jabs. You're getting the distance. You know, nobody's really laying it all out on the line, but they haven't done anything. I would say that it's a combination of both things, of both Bruins domination and just absolute lack of will, lack of character, lack of effort on Carolina's part. Few things that I found laughable coming into the series before game one, since Carolina's a smaller market team, even hardcore NHL people who have strong NHL ties, who are big fans of original six teams or newer teams on the West Coast, whatever. It's not a lot of people watching Hurricanes hockey, including people in Raleigh. So they felt like they had to do a little expose or whatever on why and how the Carolina Hurricanes made it there. And they've all been absolutely wrong. They said that the depth in the skill in the offensive skill at the defense position goes to Carolina's demon. Their defensemen are supposed to be, you know, jump up in the play, very fast, very skilled, scoring a lot of points. I'm pretty sure Slavin, however the fuck you say that guy's name. I think he has the most points for them as a defenseman. He has the most points in the playoffs for the whole team. So I think that's where they were going with that. It's laughable. The Bruins defense has 4 goals this series. The Carolina Panthers, none. Their defensemen have none. Not only that, their defense really stinks. Slavin stinks. He was billed as this, you know, this tough guy with a good stick and can play in his own end and play offense and this whole complete. He stinks. He's getting outclassed. He's getting bodied. He's getting boxed out, pushed around, shoved around. He is not in charge when he's on the ice. Whichever line for the Bruins is dictating the pace and the style of play, he's doing nothing. Aho and Mazarek both aren't ready for the moment. they're both just deer in headlights, just like, oh, I don't know, man. They're showing small flashes of something. Aho had that nice tip in game one, and that's about it. He hasn't had any offense. Mazarek is a puddle. He should be ashamed of himself, quite frankly. Jonesy and Roenick last night on the intermission were wondering if they were going to start McElhaney in the third period. That's how bad he's been. But apparently, how about this? Isn't this a weird stat? Apparently, Brenda Moore hasn't pulled a goalie all season on performance. And I don't get that. What does that mean? Does that mean all the games that Carolina played this year were close and competitive? Was there never a time in like December or January where they were on like the second night of a back to back and, you know, some tough place to play, like, I don't know, in like Pittsburgh or Washington or something, and they weren't down like 5-0 and had to pull the goalie? That didn't happen once this year in 82 games. They were just in every game. Or is it that Brendan Moore is just a stubborn-headed fucking jackass who just doesn't know, who can't smell the stench of a shitty goalie who's peed down his leg and isn't ready for the moment? He should be able to smell it. You see the fucking schnoz on that guy? On Brendan Moore? Oh my God. Search, if you haven't yet, if you've missed some of this series or haven't seen any post-game or anything, just Google search Carolina Hurricanes head coach. I mean, the guy makes Owen Wilson look like Justin Bieber. I mean, with the fucking... You should see the fucking schnoz on this guy. Seriously. It would literally make Owen Wilson say, "Oh, wow, look at your nose. Oh, wow. Wow, it's real. Have you broken your nose 27,000 times? Wow." Fucking unreal. That's an ugly, scary-looking guy. In the beady eyes aren't helping him either. That wide open, back and forth, left and right. It's not doing him any favors. He's creepy looking as shit. Anyways, we can get off Brendan Moore and his schnoz. We don't have to pick on that guy. The poor guy's team hasn't showed up for him fucking over the course of six periods. This whole series has been Bruins domination, and it has sweep written all over it. Look at any stat, and it's advantage Bruins. Any stat at all. Bruins are 4-for-7 in the series on the power play. Every time there's a power play, it's just basically an automatic goal. 20% on the power play is good. Like, that means you have a good power play. Like 20-25% is good. The Bruins are 57% for the series on the power play. That's very good. Like I said, Mazarek is a sheep. He's a turtler. I don't even know how many soft goals of the 11. How many of the 11 do you think were soft? Were like absolutely should have been saved. Trash goals. Half? Five? Like 4 or 5 of them? There's been at least 4 or 5 just absolutely bleeder, can't go in. Like, you have to save it, goals. And he's let them all in. And with Tuukka Rask at the other end of the ice, in what seems to be a collision course, a collision course with the Conn Smythe Trophy at the end of these Stanley Cup playoffs, you can't let in half the goals that Mazarek's letting in. So I wonder if he's even going to play. I wonder if they'll let their backup McElhaney in. I knew very little about both of these goalies, just like I knew very little about most of this Carolina team. But I hate to be that cocky son of a bitch, but I kind of called this. I kind of called a sweep to gentlemen sweep, just a better overall team from the goalie out. more skill, more size, more speed, better coaching, better fans, better city. There's not many ways. There's not many ways back into this series for Carolina, short of holding serve at home, which I don't think they can do. They're showing a lot last night and talking a lot last night about the Raleigh fans. They're trying to fucking convince all of us that the Raleigh, North Carolina fans are these crazy diehard. Like, didn't we try to do this with Columbus already last series? Didn't we try this? Didn't we try the whole, oh, but wait till you get into the stadium. Wait till you get to these, you know, these games. And people don't sit down and people. Yeah, it's they don't know any better. These people in the Midwest, these people in the South, they don't know. They don't know the game. They don't know. They're there for the spectacle. They're there for to watch the fucking lights go off and for the team to dance a jig afterwards. And they don't get it. They don't. Of course it's loud there. It's fucking probably best party in town. One of the best parties in town. You get drunk. You eat some. What are they? Oh, they got barbecue down there. It's North Carolina. It's nice. And then you go to the game and you scream your head off and you go home. They don't know. They don't know who won the game. They don't know who's playing well. They don't know who needs to be in net. They don't know shit. They don't know shit about the game. They're going because it's there. They're going because their team is there. That's why. It's the very definition of a bandwagon. This thing's going over there. I'd like to go over there. That looks like fun. Let's get on. Come on, let's go, babe. We're getting on this Hurricanes gravy train. It might not be around for much longer. We better get the fuck on it. It might only be around a couple more days. That party looks fun. Let's go. Fucking unbelievable. But yeah, we'll talk a little more like X's and O's stuff. Rather than just fucking shitting on the entire organization in town of the Carolina Hurricanes. There was a lot that happened yesterday. Way too much to go over. I got like 5 pages of notes. A lot of it is the Bruins dominating and Carolina just absolutely not showing up and or being cheap. So I'm not going to bore you with all those details. The only thing I wanted to bring up was the ultimate rat move that Brad Marchand pulled yesterday on Justin Williams. God, was that awesome. Oh, man. It might be the silver medal. It's probably silver medal in rat history for Marchand just because the gold medal will always be him punching whichever Sedin twin it was. I think it was Daniel Sedin directly in the face in game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals in 2011. He just punches him like 4 or 5 times in the face. None of Sedin's teammates come to help him. None of Marchand's Bruins teammates come to stop him. No penalties or referee comes to stop or assess any sort of discipline. It was just Brad Marchand after a whistle just punching Daniel Sedin directly in his face, and not a damn thing anyone in the world could do about it. This was almost that good. What he did to Justin Williams yesterday, that cagey little rat hook that when he reaches his stick behind his own self with the blade of his stick and yanks him down. That was so brilliant. Because if you look at it in split second and you don't look at it from that correct angle that showed that it was a rat play, it looks like he bumped him. It was a great sell. It was a great fake-out job by Marchand to get his stick around like that and yank him down. And then Williams apparently had enough. Boosh, the guy in between the glass, said that they've been going at it all game. I didn't notice it much, but sure noticed it then. Williams gets up, rakes him in the face, pulls his chin strap off of his helmet, and then Marshy with just the the rat, the shit-talking rat that Marchand is, holding up the C over his heart, shit-talking the Carolina players. That's your fucking captain, bro. That's your captain. What an idiot. He's going off for 2 minutes. It's fucking 4-0. What an asshole. Bruins in four. Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. Where am I? How long do I got on this thing? Let's see, because I want to get to some Bruins in a little bit. All right, we're going to wrap this up in a couple. I wanted to get to one more thing. Dougie Hamilton is now public enemy number one. Somebody has to run him. Somebody has to really give him a go this next game. I don't care who it is or how it happens. That cheap shot he did on Heinen after the sixth goal, what a fucking coward. What a fucking sore loser little piece of shit play that was. I mean, 3-4 strides after Heinen scores, the lamp was lit, the horn's going, and he fucking nails Heinen into the boards. What an asshole. Somebody needs to take his number. Somebody needs to take his number next game and bury him. He's a fucking asshole. Fuck that guy. Ugh. Nothing worse. Nothing worse than a sore loser ginger fuck. With a mullet. And a shitty mullet at that. What an asshole. What an asshole. And just a fraud, just a fraudulent team, if I can reiterate. How did Ovi and the Islanders let this band of what Don Cherry called them? Jerks. A bunch of jerks. They're a bunch of a-holes. And you let them, the whole rest of the Eastern Conference, let them get here. That's really how I feel. I feel like the other teams let Carolina get here. I don't think Carolina got here on their own. I think the other teams choked, and it's clearly evident with these six periods of play from the Boston Bruins and from the Carolina Panthers. I'm gonna do one more, just one more little. It really summed up these first two games in this one play. It was the fifth goal yesterday. It was just domination. There's forecheck, forecheck, forecheck. There's a lazy giveaway by the defenseman, Falk. Krug keeps it in. His shot hits Mazarek. Krejci gets the rebound in front of him. Goes from his forehand to his backhand. Behind Mazarek. Now, Mazarek is now out of his paint. And Krejci and Backes are now behind him. Rather than Krejci shooting it in, Krejci passes it through the net mount, through the mouth of the net, to Backes. And Backes literally shoved it into the net with his stick. Didn't shoot it. Put his stick and the puck over the line. Do you know how fucking embarrassing that is? Do you know how embarrassing that is to do to a team? A professional hockey team? Where are the defensemen? What are the defensemen for Carolina are soft. Soft. Cottonelle. Cottonelle, extra layers. Soft. Soft. How many times and how many players of the Bruins are you going to just let own, just absolutely own and buy real estate and visit multiple times a year in Mazarek's goalie paint? How many times? That's how they scored half their goals already. Half their goal. I mean, there's not many snipes. There's not many snipes. There's Mazarek getting peppered with shots and the defenseman puck watching. And the Bruins going, what, are you guys fucking kidding me with this effort? We're blowing your doors off. You're getting steamrolled. Get out of my fucking building. Get out of my playoffs. Those are the only few I wanted to really hit on. I'd like to keep it a gentleman's sweep just so I can say that I was right, but I'm tempted to call it a sweep just because we don't really know who's going to be the goalie in Game 3. I'm not sure what Brendan Moore said last night. I didn't watch much of the post game. I was trying to get re-caught back up on Thrones, so I only watched the game. Didn't catch much post game from either team. But regardless, it doesn't matter. It's still a question that needs to be asked. It doesn't matter how he answered it, whether he said we're going to look at it or whether he said we're going with the backup or Mazarek's our guy. Either way, the fact that that question needed to be asked last night and it needed to be answered is just it's a borderline death sentence for Carolina. Like, oh, who's going to be your goalie? I don't know. I don't know. Can we trade? Can we have Tuukka Rask, please? Yeah, I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna keep it. Gentleman sweep. I think Carolina buckles down in Game 3, and I think they score a few times and get that home crowd, and those drunk assholes down in Raleigh get going. And I think they win one, but I think that's it. I think that's the only one they win. I'm gonna move on to a little Sox talk here, a little crack of the bat, because the Sox are good again. They're 11-2 in their last 13. They're also riding a 5-game winning streak, like your Boston Bruins. Bullpen again, a little sketchy this year, but it's encouraging to see the team finally hitting. It seems like that's the way this team is going to have to win this year, between the health of the pitching staff as a whole, both starting and in the relief, in the bullpen. I just think they're going to have to out-hit other teams more, despite having high-dollar starting pitching and borderline bullpen help. The 2013 team did it. They would outslug and outhit, outscore opponents. It doesn't always work. It's really hard. It's really hard for it to work. Having the best pitching is huge. But I mean, if they're scoring 12 runs, 14 runs, 9 runs, 11 runs, 15. If they're getting offensive output like this, from the guys who they're supposed to be getting it from too, then I think we're gonna be on our way a bit. It wouldn't surprise me if they keep playing like this. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if they're back in this thing, if they're back in the AL East again, up at the front, maybe by, what would you say, July 4th? What do you think? You think they'll be in first by July 4th? They're 5 games out right now, 5.5 games out. So, I don't know. We'll see. We're gonna see. I'm very encouraged by Sale, his last few, especially his last one. Unbelievable. Very encouraged with Rafi Devers. He's leading the team in batting average. Hitting a ton. Still a little sketchy at third base, but not bad. He's not bad. As long as he's hit, you know what? If he's hitting like this, he's hitting .336 right now. If he's going to hit .340, I can deal with some errors at third. If he's going to hit .340 and hit, call it 20 homers, get greedy, call it 25 homers, I'll take that. I'll take some mediocre third base play. for that kind of run production out of a third baseman. Coming up on 25 minutes, I think that's about going to do it for this episode. Again, thanks a lot for listening. Should be coming back. What's today? Today is Monday. Is my birthday. Shout out. Shout out to the big 2-8. Probably going to do one. Yeah, we'll do one Wednesday. I'm going to do one after game 3. Might as well, right? Mine is fucking well. Let's go. You know the Twitter. It's at TalkinBS1. You know the Instagram. It's at _TalkinBS. Really appreciate you guys listening. It's been a blast. It's always a blast. And I really hope you're enjoying it. I'll talk to you guys later on. See ya!